Good morning, and welcome to After Deadline. I'm Kathleen Strecker. I'm the editor of Coast Weekend at the Daily Astorian, and I'm very happy to have today as my guest Robin Cody, who's the author of Another Way the River Has. It's his new book. Subtitle is Taught True Tales from the Northwest. So welcome, Robin. Thank you for coming.
Hi, Kathleen. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Now, you've been in town here around the region lately talking about your book, and there's a reason for you being particularly here, I guess. You have some connections to this area?
Boy, I sure do. It goes way back.
Yeah?
Goes way back. I'm one of those who remembers the Megler Ferry.
Okay.
Summertimes, we lived in Estacada, but the history is here in Astoria. Mom graduated from Astoria High School. Those were the Depression years, so there weren't jobs for young women, and she went to Portland and graduated from another school, too. But Astoria is like home. Our summer vacations were fishing out of Iwako and Warrenton, clam digging at Long Beach. I had my appendix out at Iwako.
Oh, that's got to be a story right there.
Yeah, and even Dad had his final heart attack fishing.
Oh wow.
Right at Buoy 10 out there. Goodness. So we have connections a lot of ways. And for him, that was a good way to go.
Yeah, I imagine so.
That was, if we could plan it.
Wow.
If he had to go, that's it, fishing at Astoria.
Oh, that's amazing. And you do still have one family member who lives here, right?
Yeah, Sue Cody works on the paper here.
Yeah, excellent.
And her daughters are fishermen. They are graduated now. Brooke Dooling and Leslie Dooling, also Astoria High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following Jordan Poyer since he was a freshman.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Saw all the playoff games that he played. Football, too.
Mm-hmm. So I hear.
So I feel like I'm an Astoria fan.
There you go. We can take as many of those as we can get. That's awesome. And so, but you grew up mostly in Estacada, is that right?
Yep. Born in St. Helens.
Okay.
And then when I was little, when I was five, we moved to Estacada. So it was grade school, high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the book, this latest book of yours, Another Way the River Has, talks about the Clackamas River, which is the river that you grew up on.
Yeah.
And then it kind of evolves into talking more about the Willamette and the Columbia.
Yeah.
So it almost kind of follows the path of the river itself as the book goes along. And this book is not a novel. It's a collection of nonfiction essays.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the pieces I noticed have appeared previously. They've been in other publications like the Northwest Magazine, which is published by the Sunday Oregonian, and Portland Magazine from the University of Portland, as well as Willamette Week, too.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how did you put this together as a book, then? Is there new material in this book that hasn't appeared anywhere else?
Yes. About half of it, I think slightly more than half.
Mm-hmm.
Is new material, and that material is almost all Columbia River.
Okay.
You see in the front of that boat, in the front of the book, a picture of the boat, a homemade, squarish, flat-bottomed, green, kind of socially awkward, theoretical sort of boat that's been my writing studio.
Right.
And so I would have that boat, especially at the uninhabited islands between Kathlamet and Klaskanai. And that would be my writing studio. Be out there just out of the ship channel, of course, anchored in a quiet place and reading and writing and listening to the Mariners game.
Now, when you say writing, are you out there with a pencil and tablet?
That's right.
Excellent.
The old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way. Unless I was editing something, it's okay. Hard copy that had already come off the word processing machine.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of the previously published essays are the ones that deal with other aspects of life, but they all seem to kind of somehow correlate to the river journey in a way.
Some of them are really not quite related.
Yeah.
I drive a school bus, a special ed school bus, one of those short ones with the lift, the wheelchair lift. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting to know some really interesting children.
I'm sure.
And I just wanted those in the book. It really.
Why not?
Yeah. So it ends up kind of a collection of my mm-hmm. favorite stories.
Mm-hmm.
Or Oregon State University Press's
okay.
favorite stories of mine.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that a writer can't be a writer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do something physical.
Uh-huh.
So driving the bus, refereeing basketball,
mm-hmm.
umpiring baseball gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ends up a kind of collection of characters.
Yeah.
That you meet.
Right. You know, what this reminded me of as I was reading it, and I have to dig way, way back in my memory, is the first actual piece of real, and I'm making the quote sign here, literature that I ever read. I was probably not more than about 7 or 8 years old, but my dad gave me a copy of Travels with Charlie
by
John Steinbeck.
Oh, it's a great book.
Yeah.
I was reading that when I was little, too.
Yeah. So, you know, I've hung on to that in my memory. I've never gone back and reread it, so my perceptions may be way off here, but but that's what came to mind when I was reading your book, is that, you know, it is. It's just, it's a travel, it's a journey in many levels, and you're just right. About the interesting people that you met on the way, and that's fascinating.
Thank you. What an interesting thing. No, I still remember a line from Travels with Charlie.
Yeah.
He remembers as a kid, or he remembers with the dog,
mm-hmm.
that they had a horse blanket in the back of the car
mm-hmm.
in case, he said, they ever came across a cold horse. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
That's awesome. Well, the other parallel, too, is that, you know, you have the homemade boat, and he had the homemade camper on his pickup. He said it was like the one of the first prototypes of a pickup camper that was ever made. So that's another striking thing that just
had
stood
to be.
Out to me.
Travels with Charlie.
Yeah, that's very cool. So do you have favorite sections of this book when you go to a book signing or something or a reading? Are there passages that you always like to read for people?
There sure are. And we had a reading like that last night at Lucy's Books.
Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night. I start with, especially when I'm in Astoria, the story from right across the river here at the mouth of the Deep River,
mm-hmm.
where a friend and I were camping. Well, not camping. We were boating.
Mm-hmm.
Came in on a high tide. Woke up in the morning, stuck on a mud bar at low tide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were there at daybreak
mm-hmm.
for the show. And that was the awakening of animals and mm-hmm. sunlight and all those things. One of my favorite passages. And that's where the title mm-hmm. comes from. It's a phrase in that section
mm-hmm.
having to do with everything made of water.
Right.
That even the beavers, that we are 70-something percent water, and
mm-hmm.
the beavers, and the kid I saw mounting a school bus mm-hmm. over there, and even those willows,
mm-hmm.
Collections of rising sap,
yeah.
that it's just another way the river has of getting out of its banks.
Right.
So that's a favorite place. And then unless it gets too serious, or to keep it from getting too serious, I often turn to the bus driving
mm-hmm.
Stories, or the umpiring, or the deaf basketball,
mm-hmm.
Refereeing a mm-hmm. deaf basketball team.
Oh, that's great. And this is not your first book.
No.
You have a couple others under your belt. You want to tell us about those?
Yeah, Ricochet River is a novel. Based very much on the Clackamas River, but it is made up stories where three young people are trying to figure out their high school age. They're about to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested in the life cycle of salmon and mm. how that works or doesn't with the salmon returning from the sea and run up against River Mill Dam.
Mm-hmm.
sounds grim. sounds awful, but it's a funny It's a funny book, a coming-of-age novel, and it's done very well. That was published 20 years ago, still in print,
mm-hmm.
And it was recently called one of the 200 books,
mm-hmm.
Oregon books, since the Journals of Lewis and Clark.
Really?
So Yeah, that's
too proud.
That's a that's a high honor.
That's true. I've heard one other thing mentioned about this book. Your editor Brian Doyle from Portland Magazine, in the foreword of this recent book, called it a great novel made into the worst movie in the history of the world.
That's right. That's
so
right.
What was up with that? I mean, gosh, you know, your book gets optioned into a movie. You must think you're on top of the Hollywood food chain or something. But how does that work?
That's exactly right, Kathy. And I had high hopes. Mm-hmm. Donna, my wife, had plans of what she was going to wear to the to the opening, you know, mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they didn't get the salmon theme very well.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's an Indian kid, Hero, in there who's a sensational athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor they picked for this couldn't even throw a ball convincingly.
Uh-huh.
And so they put a baseball uniform on this kid who can't throw. And it was just pathetic from the start.
It was
the first movie that Kate Hudson ever made.
Oh,
so it was before she got famous.
Mm-hmm.
She's the daughter of Goldie Hawn, so
right.
we knew who she was,
right.
that she was going to be mm-hmm. famous. So I had reasons for high hopes of the movie, and it's just a botch.
Yeah.
It's just too bad.
It's one of those on the midnight rentals section in the movie store.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Or it does play in the Ozone 3 o'clock on the third-rate channel
right.
section because of Kate Hudson.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah,
exactly.
It's a curiosity.
Right, right.
So the thing lives. It's still alive.
Interesting. It just reminds me of there was a movie filmed here a couple of years ago, an independent movie, and their great big claim to greatness was that they had snagged Tori Spelling for one of the minor roles.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, her name was huge on the,
yeah.
on the box, but yeah, she had a very small part.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it goes around.
Huh.
Well, interesting. Okay, and then your other book is Voyage of a Summer Sun.
Voyage of a Summer Sun is nonfiction,
mm-hmm.
based on the long canoe trip, as long a canoe trip as you can make on the mm-hmm. Columbia River. It starts, that is my story of the Columbia River, starts where the Columbia comes bubbling up out of the ground as spring water up in the Canadian Rockies.
Wow.
And then I took that canoe 82 days solo to Astoria here and pulled it out at the West Boat Basin.
Uh-huh.
The timing was actually dictated by the season. You have to wait to get started until the ice melts
uh-huh.
up there, and you want to get to Astoria before the rains set in.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it worked. And the book is actually, it's about the Columbia River. It's
mm-hmm.
not an adventure story, not about
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people you meet along the way, the people who work on the river, play on the river, some of the old-timers who knew the river before dams.
Mm-hmm.
That was particularly interesting to me. And then to find some Indian people who had used the river or had relatives
mm-hmm.
who used the river in the old ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, if you're just joining us, this is After Deadline, and I'm Kathleen Strecker from the Daily Astorian talking with Robin Cody, who is an author with many local ties and a new book out called Another Way the River Has.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about the river, you know, of course, it's a big topic with you and runs through a lot of the stories in this newest book. There's a recurring a thesis, I guess I would put it, in many of the stories that the river has changed since the advent of people from European descent got here and have, you know, they're just by living here have changed the river. But in response, the animals and the people themselves have changed too. So
mm-hmm.
how does that, elaborate on that a little bit for us. What does that mean?
I'm glad you picked up on that
mm-hmm.
because that's how the newer things in the book, and it's more than half the book,
mm-hmm.
That was the theme mm-hmm. of what I was thinking about at the time. Here we are on the lower river. It's very much alive,
mm-hmm.
but with different plants
yeah.
than Lewis and Clark saw.
For example. Yeah.
Yeah, for the hybrid cottonwoods mm-hmm. around Palatskanai or Longview. Things that were brought in from England in
right.
the ballast of ships.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me. They would haul dirt in their ships as ballast
That's
and then
right.
dump it when they got here, and that naturally included some seeds.
Sure.
So from halfway around the world, those plants got here that never would have otherwise.
Sure. Huh. Yeah. Our Scotch broom, our purple loosestrife, mm-hmm. our English ivy
mm-hmm.
Comes from Birmingham,
yeah.
for Pete's sake.
Wow.
Probably not the ivy. That was probably brought in on purpose. But the others and several kinds of plants
mm-hmm.
came in because those ships had to be heavy in the ocean
mm-hmm.
and light to get up the
wow.
river.
Yeah.
They dump the ballast with the seas.
Huh.
The plants change. There are places where you see the same kind of plants that Lewis and Clark saw.
Mm-hmm.
The trees, the cottonwoods were here, but now they're a crop.
Right, right. Now they're farmed. Mm-hmm.
Some of the grasses were here, but now it's hay. It's
mm-hmm.
a crop.
Yeah.
So there are similarities too, and that really did interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the animals mm-hmm. change. Of course, we have domestic animals that the Indians didn't need. And the cougars and elk get moved off the river.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, finally, the way we use the river is mm-hmm. entirely different from the first peoples.
Yeah.
So there's a story in there about baseball in Clatskanie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's competition between towns,
mm-hmm.
kids competition. But there are parallels to how the Indian people did that. They had war games
mm-hmm.
between camps along the river where nobody got killed.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot like organized sports where they dressed up and did the hooping. And
mm-hmm.
But they stopped short of killing anybody,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of different
yeah.
and cool.
Very cool. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So you've got the stories about the river, which are the newer ones, and
uh-huh.
then some that are pulled from other sources. So you don't call yourself a full-time writer, though. You still have these other jobs doing the school bus and the refereeing?
You know what? The other jobs don't pay much,
mm-hmm.
but they get me out of the house.
Yeah.
And I need that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stay in the library or at the desk all the time. And 2 or 3 hours of intense writing is mm-hmm. about all my brain can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the other jobs got me out of the house. And physical exercise
mm-hmm.
is good for the brain, I believe.
They're very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
refereeing, you've got to do that.
Yeah, if you're running back and forth on a basketball court with
mm-hmm.
those kids. That's a workout.
That's enough. Yeah, no
yeah.
kidding. But
yeah.
then you've done other things in your life, too. You've been, what, a dean of college admissions, I think I saw somewhere.
That was brief.
Yeah.
The other job that I really had was teaching.
Okay.
Teaching and coaching.
Uh-huh.
High school. Teaching good books.
Uh-huh.
So to teach is to learn. To study,
sure.
actually, how did Ken Kesey do that stuff?
mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my writing comes from not from writing classes, but
mm-hmm.
from reading over and over again some of the books that I really
mm-hmm.
like.
Wow. And then I just caught in passing in one of these stories that you spent time in France, too.
10 years.
Yeah? What did you do there?
Donna and I... As young people, we were right out of, well, no, not right out of college, but right out of the Army.
Hmm.
The Army had put me in Germany for a couple years, and we were married at that time. And all of a sudden, we had this opening experience, both of us from Oregon. Donna's from Estacada, too.
Hmm.
We really liked the German people and speaking German
mm-hmm.
and the travel associated that you could go to
sure.
France for a weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's like just going to any state here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So we wanted to stay for maybe a year or so after the Army
mm-hmm.
And applied to some jobs and got not a German-speaking country, but Paris, mm-hmm. France. And then we extended 1 year at a time for 10 years. It
wow.
was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have, I began writing Ricochet River there.
Oh, really?
Wow. And that might have been an advantage in a strange kind of way.
Hmm.
Your memories of the river, of the salmon, of the woods, the Oregon-ness
uh-huh.
of it might have been even exaggerated by hmm. not having seen it for a while.
Interesting.
And we did come back summers.
Okay.
Her parents were here. My parents were here.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a daughter then who mm-hmm. didn't know her grandparents very well.
Gotcha.
And then we came back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. And so what is next for you? Do you have any more plans for books at this point, or are you just kind of taking a break after this one?
Taking a break. Yeah. I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of authors who keep writing beyond their skills, and there is a. I'm 67 years old.
Really?
And you might compare it to a 41-year-old basketball player.
Okay.
Somebody who knows what should happen
mm-hmm.
on the court or in the mind for a novel to flow, or for the words to flow, and then. It becomes more work.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite as juicy or smooth.
Hmm.
So I don't really have plans for another book.
Mm-hmm.
I like the three that I have. I earn money by writing things that I really like. National Fish and Wildlife
oh.
Foundation hired me to do some of their publicity.
Okay.
About how do we, for example, restore streams for salmon.
Mm-hmm.
So that pays. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing right now, but
yeah.
no other book in the works.
Well, you certainly got enough statistics and contacts from just the people you met in writing this book
for sure.
to do a lot of that work already.
For sure.
Wow, that's fascinating. So let's see. Well, what else can we talk about today? You've got you're here in town for a couple of days, and then is it back to Estacada for you?
No, we don't live in Estacada now.
Okay.
We live in Portland.
Portland, okay.
It'll be back to Estacada today. We have guests coming in for the weekend. The Dalles on Saturday, and then it's bookstores.
I was going to say, are you still on a kind of a book signing tour?
Yep. My world tour is like from Bellingham, Washington to Medford.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it goes a little more south than that, but you get the idea. It's
right.
a Northwest.
Right.
It's a Northwest book.
Oh, right. That's excellent. So you mentioned you have one daughter.
Yeah.
And what is she doing now?
She's an artist
hmm.
and looking to come back to Portland. She's been in New York
mm-hmm.
for a decade,
mm.
Happily single,
mm-hmm.
but just recently fell in love with a guy, is engaged now
wow.
to a guy, and both of them want to come back to Oregon.
Well, that's
so
very cool.
That's great for us. It's great for us.
We'll
and
be
she's
nice.
She's a water dog. She likes uh-huh. the rivers. She likes the boat.
Excellent. And yeah. I notice she's got a drawing in one of your, in the
that's
title
her
page.
That's her work.
Yes. Fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Well, I won't give away the final resting place of the boat here
okay.
because people have to read the book, and it's great how that ends up. But yeah, you get to follow the boat's life cycle essentially from
yep.
from birth to final resting place and everything in between.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it sounds really fascinating to just have taken this out. And what did your wife do all this time when you were on the boat?
Oh, she doesn't miss me for four. If I'm out for 4 days or mm-hmm. or a week or something, she's very imaginative about yeah her friends, her
yeah.
her reading, her sometimes her travels.
Mm.
She'll go with a friend back to France
mm-hmm.
if I'm on the
oh,
river
wow.
too much.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
And what does she do?
She was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Taught third grade at the American School of Paris.
Mm.
Came back here, and she taught at Oregon Episcopal School in Portland, mostly third grade also. but sometimes fifth, second.
Okay.
And that. And then she retired 8 years ago. And that was another reason for my bus driving, to carry the medical coverage.
Oh, okay.
For independent people, you know, have to worry about in America. How are we gonna how are we gonna do this medical coverage? So when she retired, we lost that coverage, and I pick it up with the bus driving then.
That works out.
Yeah.
Very good.
And she was a big help, Kathleen, along the way, because there were times when I was writing Ricochet River, I'm not bringing in any income for a year. And that went on probably three different times before I finally got that book published. So I have some catching up to do in terms of the share of family income.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I've been there. I know how that goes.
Okay.
Wow, fascinating.
You've been there how?
Oh, just my husband and I have kind of switched off on who gets to work full time. And when our son was very small, we resolved that we weren't going to let him be raised by daycare. So one of us was going to stay home with him until he got to be school age. And it was tough. It was very tough because we were used to having a dual income. And but
well,
you know, that was more important.
You know, then
that's
Was this in Astoria?
In Eugene, actually.
In Eugene.
Yeah. So he was working as a restaurant manager for a chain of Little Caesars pizza stores, and I was working in administration at a chain of funeral homes. So
there's a combination.
Yeah, that was an interesting time, but yeah, well, it's worked out, you know, and I think I definitely think our family is much stronger for it. So
yeah,
kudos to you for for doing that same thing.
Good.
So well, anything you want to wrap up with here? We're coming down to the end of our time slot, and anything else you want to say about the book or where people can pick it up? Maybe
pick it up at the local bookstore.
Okay.
And if they don't have it, bug them. It's out new. So they might not have it right now. I should say the name of the other books too. I'm not sure we mentioned Voyage of a Summer Sun by title.
Okay.
That's the Columbia River book. The long trip. But other than that, no. Here we are on a beautiful day in Astoria, and I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Robin. It's been great talking with you. And we will see you next time on After Deadline.
Great.